interrupting the current neo-colonial cricketism. Currently, folks, still. To bring you behind the woodshed, this is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 454. Don't know how you're going to know that before you hear those numbers, but there you go. If you want to get the content, if you don't, you're not on the blogcaster page in the future, seek it out. And all the links I talked to and about, you can get in depth if you want. You can see where things are. I just use it as a touchstone, kind of give you a view of what's happening to look into the future, what we might want to do locally, because that's really all we have. It's really down to us, even more so. When they got it right down to your house, when they attacked you and put you, locked you down, that was a notice to you. But no one complained about it too much. That was another notice to you. So they're kind of focusing our attention, which is in a way a good thing. And so it's up to us to take responsibility, I think. And part of that, I think, also, what always thinking about, how much longer do I tell people about this stuff that it should be apparent? Clearly, it's not so apparent what to do about it, and clearly no one really, not many, want to really listen. It's a lot of work. I understand that. But that was the exploitation principle, the poison pill they threw into this place. And they counted on you not responding. So at least, also to show how to go about dismantling the thing against you anyway. And everybody's issue will be different. There's nobody the same. There's no simple recipe for going through this. But I would ask that we at least become revealers of the truth. And I don't talk about our opinion about what the truth is. I mean, this is now fundamentally what the structure that's coming, that's being exploited, the truth about that. The truth about how a thing should have went a different way, not by our opinion, but the objective basis, which is why I resort to what we call the law, the statutes and codes. Those are the objective black and white basis. I don't know if really people appreciate this. It's nothing to do with me, my belief that the judicial system is justice, or that the politicians are representative at all, or that any of that stuff. The executive will execute on the law. We see that they won't. It has nothing to do with that. What it has to do is flexing our critical thinking muscles, our action muscles, to defend ourselves in a way I don't think that we've been prepared to have to do so, on top of the attack that's coming in our physical nature relative to food and all of our shelter and power and all this other stuff that I've been talking to you about for over a decade, the nuts and bolts of how it all works, what was coming down, how you can see it yourself. How does to look ahead in the future to at least limit some of what's coming down? And this is a time when I think people are becoming more available. And maybe this is my impatience for the last 2 years, but still, we should have seen this before. It was predictable before. People are saying, oh, they see all this stuff now. Folks, it was seeable before it even got started with this Kobe fraud. I mean, I don't even know what more to say. In fact, people are, oh, now it's news that the CDC is finally going to axe that PCR. I said before this whole thing got started that the PCR couldn't be used. It wasn't a test. There's no test. Look at the hashtag. This was seeable right up front, and we didn't respond. So maybe it's time for people to respond. People need to hear the truth. And the truth was that the institutional organizations have failed them, and they need to now step up and press those for that dereliction. No one wants to do this, but that's what has to happen. What that does is build your record of your righteousness in the point, not righteousness like religion, although this is that religion, isn't it? This becomes the real resistance, the real thing that you say. You finally show how you're going to say no. And it's not just that you are a refuser. And I say that particularly because I did run across, it's hard to find, but what a refuser is, when you become, like I tell you, stop being a resistor, just stand on your reliance that someone took an oath to do something and they failed, not you. But administratively, a refuser is someone who's in willful misconduct. And if you know that anybody who's done this and go to the post office, you get a piece of mail they put refused on it. That is a legal statement, which you don't maybe understand what they're doing. And the courts pick that up and say, well, you were given notice. You just refused. You were willful misconduct of receiving. Anyway, so you start learning all these things, and you learn the prison that you're in and the traps. And if you do, then you start coming up with a different and better thought, I hope. Then you start approaching things a little bit better. I would hope, again. You're in an occupied territory. You're essentially in the prison. Now what? What are you going to do? And that's a lot of people don't want to think that through a bit. But as I still learn or remind myself and the things in the memory hole, I just wanted to, before we go too far, last week before my broadcast, I was end up listening to myself before preparing for the broadcast on the RLM stream and referencing the episode called Defeating the Death Cult, BTW RLM 381. And that number was kind of interesting in my life. It was pretty interestingly interesting. There it was, but I was listening to myself telling myself something that I ended up needing to add or focus on. It was a problem I was having. It's not my problem. It's the system's problem. It's these officials that are reticent and reluctant to actually do the law at all, but they'll profess they are. That I needed to provide an upfront right of remedy instead. That's not a question. And I've told you, you go look real closely at your statutes. There wasn't really a right of remedy insisted upon for you. And so I've had to go through and construct those by different means. One of the points was, where is your remedy? And I was telling myself through a court case I was talking about last week, listening to myself talk, that the remedy is not really the rights. The rights is not in the remedy. The remedy is in the due process you're granted to get the remedy. And just hearing that refocused my attention on a document I've been preparing for many months. And I was able to then solidify my concepting of what I wanted to get across in the first paragraph on the first page of the document that's a petition that I'm writing. And still, that you've been hearing me do this. As I've been saying, it's not quite so easy when you're up against the type of, even if it's, can I say, honest evasion of duties of officers and not criminal in any way. This is a more difficult thing to nail down. And I don't besmirch really anybody about that. It's just what we have to do, though. Otherwise, they're coming to defeat us, and they're really doing a good job at this point. They've really got the concessions down that we do, and we're not responding. So I'm asking, if nothing else, to get your records objectively made, objectively supported by some code that says that these officials were supposed to do something and show how they have failed, and explain that to people, if that's all we get to do at this point, because I think more people are coming up to help. Maybe my thought was this week, I don't know where it's going to go, but maybe become the part of the anti-KISAZ coalition. Y'all stop kissing tyrants' arses so that we don't give them consent. That's the silence. Or silence to respond. Let's become the anti-KISAZ coalition. Just mutually helping each other in all our different problems, but we come together underneath the objective basis on how they're supposed to be handled and they're not. So I guess I'll stop in that. I don't know what more I guess I can go on and on. I could talk about all this stuff, but it's just talking until anybody starts doing. I mean, the mutual defense is you don't silently tolerate disrespect of people by those oppressing the oppressors whom have chosen to be oppressors. I don't even want to get into this name. It's an identification. It's like woke thing. Not even that. The people that think that they're not woke are not woke. They are woke, I guess, in that context. They don't really, most people don't understand. And those that do don't know what to do with what they thought they knew. And they don't. And I know people don't like hearing me say that. It's like, oh, how arrogant are you to tell me what to do? Well, I'm not saying that. I'm telling you that we're in trouble. You can go ahead and take an attitude, or you can go ahead and decide, what is the thing that really upsets you the most that you might look to take action to stop in your world? And there's a ton of things I can see. I get emails all the time that there's so many different things in the world to look at. It's mind-boggling. And I don't mean as a complainer. I'm saying as finding something that's really facing us as a problem. So you address the oppressors, those amongst us now that are in this medical apartheid that's been set up. Globally, I still can't believe this, globally. How well organized is that? We might actually get to a story where why that might be, how so well organized this all is. I don't understand why you weren't responding to it, but you cite that black and white objective basis, and you expose the exploiters for the psychopathic criminals that are devoid of any integrity, those that will say innocence, that health is a crime. These are psychopathic criminals. I don't know what to say. They're just, they have no basis. And when you're silent to it, you allow this perpetuation of that cancer upon us. And we're in a position of weakness in a way until we make our record that it's not. And that's why I've tried to focus everyone on, well, it's an easy one to get here. There's no law, local law followed for communicable disease. That's pretty simple to follow. And then you find out, those of you that have, they get pretty squirrely trying to evade how they haven't been derelict. And then you also learn how to, you bind that up by showing that it's an evasion because the law required otherwise. And you run with the reliance that they will evaded their duty in the question. Now you're someone that can carry that piece of paper in your pocket and you can address these oppressors. Whoever they come, all the costumes they come, whether they're a co-customer in a store, they're a business owner, they're a business, they're an official. And you can walk around, at least with some armor and some weapons, that are really not weapons at all. They're just showing the other one is naked. So that's, again, as we keep moving along, I wish I heard more people. I look everywhere, folks. I don't see anyone addressing more than the mitigation side about vaccinations, masks, distancing, all this nonsense. No one shows that there's no foundation for an exigency, and there's no emergency to base that on. Nobody. Nobody has. Again, advisedly, there's at least one case I know that is, and then we found out, as I knew, and we proved in 2013, it doesn't change in 2020 that the judiciary is corrupt. And I get the choir laughing, and yeah, that's right. Well, okay, have you ever made it proof? Have you predicted it? Have you put it in paper that predicted and then show people how that works to get them off of the question that says, oh, these officials are doing them any good? The psychological warfare is pretty powerful, really powerful. I don't really know how, I look around, how with everybody doing the wrong point, how anybody really escapes. And I think maybe they haven't. That's why no one's really responding. So there's oppressors right in amongst us now. That was made to divide this is the division of the society. They've done it. These people have done it. This is not over, and this is not the object. They're moving us into a modernization, as I was talking last week. It has nothing to do, really, it's not even an action in law. It's not even action at all within the relevant establishment. It is adjunct to it. It's a side it. This is a substitute. As I've explained to you, this. The United States of America, in many jurisdictions and in a couple of different levels and ways, has had these surrogate authorities, if you will, because we believe them, authoritas, built in, and we just continue to agree to them. And what I saw through, and we challenged it at silence. Now, we got the crickets then, and that was the perfect crickets, because those were the people with the duty and obligation. When you're crickets, that's not, you have the duty of obligation to keep the republic. And this would be in any democracy, this so-called. It's anywhere where you supposedly have rights. And if you just understood what I said, I had to remind myself on my own broadcast that a judge in a court case reminded us that a constitutional provision for rights is not your right to a remedy, but the due process clause that provides for the due process to get the remedy is the avenue. If you don't appreciate how they've carved this thing up and you really have to focus closely, you won't get what I'm talking about. You really won't. And then it gets so much water under your life experience bridge that's useless. And I'm not sure, looking around, that that's going to really cut it. And a lot of people just giving up, I think. I don't know what to say about that part. I guess I'm more private to the obstruction because people want to say they're freemen on the land or anything like that, and not to make derogatory names here, but you don't know. I don't think none of those people know what the land really is. And this is what got me through when I started seeing the mining law and land soil disposal law. and how this place in the East United States is wired into that. It was a whole new awareness of what really, where to be and what to do. And I don't have to claim being a free man on the land. I just show where there's no right in a government official to trespass the land I claim. Not by my opinion, by the objective basis that sits in the law to do so. So, I've been talking now one track, and I'm going to change over now into where they're taking us. They got us all locked down. They're paying you money here and there, and that evaporates. And then now they're coming in, and the extended variants are proving that if they are variants at all, they're really not going to maintain. The body is a pretty cool thing. I'm happy in a way to see the variants, so-called the venom variants that your bodies are kicking out, are diminishing a bit, if you will, and we got to go if you will, because the lie, the deception is great in all this and how they've contorted. No one understands what cases are or not, that I can tell. And so they accept these case numbers, and nobody complains that there's a fraud about the word case. But anyway, moving on. This modernization I was speaking of last week, the thing that's riding in the system the entire time, for decades and decades, it's been being built up, I've been talking about it forever, been explaining how to address it. I've been telling you what we did in 2013 to knock it right in the head, and it couldn't come back to us, and so there it was. I can't do more than to point that out. It was going to bring certain woe upon us. And it, follow the money seems to be the main thing, and for us and how it affects the reality of our lives. I just wanted to point out an interesting little thing. I think the bottom of the barrel finally got taken down. And we're going to see a proof. A lot of people will disregard it because it doesn't seem like much. But when I saw this story, I said, okay, here's the proof. You can't get away now that your life and the inflation and the dollar value and what you're going to be able to buy, not be able to buy, what you're going to buy with what they give you, what you gave, is now proven, where we see this story, Dollar Tree hikes prices 25%. Most items will cost $1.25. And you might not think that's very much, but when you read these stories, and there's another one here, which I thought was even more telling because it actually gets to the people. It actually shows you how just 25 cents can affect people. What that means in the most basic sense, that a company priding itself as a brand to bring a dollar product to people will not be able to maintain the dollar. And then you got to read why. And apparently this corporation, Dollar Tree, very big. I didn't realize how big they were. But they have been operating on a margin of about 30%, if I understand these stories. And they have been being eaten away in the last few years to where there looks like maybe they're only making 5%. So bad is it, and they're trying to hold out for so long, that they haven't been able to expand their stores, and other competition that are not competition are now being able to intrude. They've made themselves an interesting little niche. I can tell you, I buy from Dollar Tree and I look at their stuff. I don't like to buy junk, and it's surprising the quality now that's coming out for a dollar. In other words, let's say for last year, I bought a pair of snippers, little garden snippers, stainless steel, so smart, so sharp, it cut my finger like it wasn't even there, just a little bit. It was okay now, though. The point is I've been using those clippers for a dollar, and they've been perfectly functional for me, where I would have had to spend $10 on the same type of clipper. And I was 1 year. I'm going to be using these things for quite a long time for a buck. Now, what's the 25%? The 25% is the company can no longer sustain the inflation on the other side. We're not looking at what they claim in these United States government economics packages they promote to us, an 8.6% increase. We don't even understand what that is. If you look at the article, it says 8.6% increase in the cost of living over the last 3 years has driven this company, who builds a brand on $1, to have to now charge $1.25. It breaks. It's a psychological break for purchasers. I now have to consider whether or not maybe, and Walmart can do this, they can attack now Dollar Tree, and they can then pull out, like you do a loss leader, they can sustain an attack on the psychology of Dollar Tree. and diminish its power as against everybody else who's raised their prices. Not only are they going Dollar Tree going to raise their price to $1.25, they're going to incorporate now higher priced items. There's an internal dynamic going on with the stockholders as well, all playing together. The point here is the bottom pricing leader has had to now raise its prices 25% just to make up what it normally got as a profit margin 3 years ago. That is an increased cost to you that will never, ever go away of 25%. And as in the video, it says that another viral video explains why Dollar Tree prices increases affects low-income shoppers. You see who it's going to affect immediately. I consider myself, well, I have a no income, so it's it really going to touch me. The point is that this is 25%. Your buying power is 25% less immediately by one company. A big corporation can't sustain its own brand anymore. It's going to bring it susceptible to the vultures, essentially, is what I can tell. I think the company asked the wrong question. They said, if we raise our prices, would you continue shopping? 91% said they would. That's the improper question. I mean, again, if I'm going to buy something for $1.25 and it can perform as well as and for as long as they want a product that's really garbage anyway at $7 and $9 because it's not gotten better on the other end. Not like you can buy, unless you want to go to $29, buy a real quality stuff, things that you can do, totally outside of my ballpark. You're going to go continue buying at Dollar Tree. What happens is you're losing customers some percentage, and you're losing the psychological edge that you put for people, let's say like myself, I already know what that price is going to be. I can then do my price checks on other companies and say, okay, they're quickly not going to compete with the known quality and cheapness, but the known quality that builds into this of certain things. Anyway, we now see that your dollar, the corporation could not hold the line. 25%, boom, immediately now is going to cost, the minimum that you can get in now is a 25% extra cost to y'all. The lowest income are going to be shaved. You're going to see in this story where people who didn't know about the price increase, who count on it, who required have to go into a Dollar Tree to buy food, were having to put food back. Another example, where 19 items were able to walk out with $19, it now costs $25 or so. I assume there's a tax there in that state. I didn't look that close. You're walking out with less for the same amount. 25% doesn't seem like a lot when you're looking at 25 cents. But when you're starting to look at the fact you multiply that, and that's going to, it's rippling throughout. That's already happened. See, other companies have already jumped. This is the last line holding. Your society is watching, going to be into the high, I think it's hyperinflation already. We haven't been paying too much about it. But anyway, I think this is a big story. I think this is the indicative now. You have to see, we're not dealing on few percents per year. We're dealing on corporations have to make major business decisions that literally destroy its branding and bring it susceptible to the vultures, which will eventually raise prices even more, just on the exploitation of it. Again, I'm trying to point out, I told you austerity would come, that we said in 2008, 2009, the fiscal situation, the monetary situation had gone on its head. It's taken this long to come up and slowly eat away at everybody. This has been going on, it's like 8.6%. You think your life has been easy to been less up until just the last 3 years? No, this has been going on. They incrementally and secretly eat away at your lifestyle. That is a different, but this is a different problem. It's harder to deal with locally. And I've asked, as we can, mutually defense, maybe we need to get back into that coin that we were talking about that's supposed to be a whole lot more stable. Yes, it's all manipulable, but at least when you have a tangible in your hands, and you're dealing in contracts and grants. You're not dealing in the FERN, the FRN. You're not dealing in utilizing federal funds, if you will, which federal law attaches. You don't understand that commerce connection. You're not utilizing something that is actually destroyed, debased, the way it happens so secretly. And it's always a counter if you get into like silver coin and silver money. Now, it's going to be difficult if we ever consider it. But we're watching the destruction of people. And it's done monetarily. And it goes right after, you think those people are food secure when they're not being able to buy the food they needed to buy, even for a 25% increase? This is the basic part of your society, and they get more of disgruntled people at the bottom. Be careful. This is not going to look pretty. And they're doing this all on purpose. And at one point, I don't know what to do about that, because the corporation, I'll just take that they're being honest. They've been eating the increase for 3 or 4 years. And they've been eating into their profit margin, which they admit here in the article, I think it was, 30%, which is not too big of, actually, a big markup. And they've now had to jump. And you need to pay attention. And so again, this is coming into a time, if we were ever preppers, this may be the time to be going into it. These things aren't going down. They're claiming this is going to be a permanent fix this way. That's not going the other way. I guess there's a lot to say here. I'm going to move on, though. Always too much to talk about and so much more to go. Let me show as we move along, and hope and glad to see this one, even though I don't believe it, as far as an actual thing, as far as so-called the Omicron variant. I have no evidence that there's anything out there. I have no evidence that there's a biologic organism. But we could take a little bit of consolation and solace in this. Virtually impossible to tell apart Omicron and common cold, Swedish professor says. So underneath this lockdown and this austerity they've placed on everybody and the prison lockdown that everyone agreed to and all the things that they're doing underneath that and then constraining your ability to buy stuff even when they pay you that little bit of bait to and switch. There's a Swedish professor that says that this is no different than the common cold. And so if anybody else needed to know it, I think they told us it was the common cold. It is a coronavirus. And what I want to point out is this deception propaganda that got everyone believing it was more than the common cold. And they attached the influenza, which is a killer. Real influenza, it will kill you. A real good strain. Which we know they don't even have the vaccine you get. It doesn't even address the one that's most prevalent this year. We also, people forget too, they throw in the pig's fly flu on that, right? The other novel thing. They've already thrown that into that flu vaccine. Even if we thought that there was this organism for influenza. I'm not so sure about any of it anymore. But, here we go. The coronavirus pandemic, the common cold pandemic, which is seasonal anyway, the Omicron variant of which is no different than the common cold, is, I guess, can we take solace in that? Can we move on now? Can we look at all of our officials and say, nonsense, stop? Nonsense, stop? The PCR was fraud. The CDC has said so. I reported on that news back in, July? And that was because this is all about economy and business doing business, they gave notice 6 months or so ahead of time of when they weren't going to be using that PCR so that everyone who had stock in the PCR, not the corporate stock, anybody who had the material to do the PCR test would work it through and get it out of their system by the time this came. And I told you why they did that. Now they don't have to prove, they don't have no test to prove what was going on, and they proved that nothing they had was working because the test was no good. I said, there is no test. I said that before this thing started. Anybody could have seen this. And it's not surprising that this is just the common cold. And if that's the common cold, then what are we still doing with the problem? Bringing in what they're doing with this and how they're exploiting this, and consistent with the UK tender offer for end-of-life drugs. The Ministry of Health says Kiwis with COVID-19 can be eligible for euthanasia. So we see now, again, I don't know how the Queen stands for this. I do see how the Queen stands for this, but I don't know. Having a soul, I don't know how the Queen stands for this. Another crown holding is advancing a policy of euthanasia for COVID-19. that I've asked last week, why? Why? If all this stuff that they're doing, the vaccines work, why? But it confirms where they want to go with this. Euthanasia is a sustainable development, is a sustainable practice, if you understand that too. Then this whole thing starts to come together. If you understand what you're looking at, what I've been talking about, and just to read the first paragraph or so, you can read it yourself when you get it. I'm just pointing out the consistency and predictability of what's going on. They don't mean you good. They can care less about what you want. They've got an agenda to pull off, and it's to get rid of most of you that are, I guess I would say, dumb enough to believe without study what you're being told. And then dumb enough not to respond when you found out you were being dumb enough to listen and not respond. And you didn't respond even to that, and they continue to this. Consistent with the UK, the Kiwis are now eligible for euthanasia on COVID-19, the common cold. Can you believe this? And yet here it is. How do you even take that jump without a thought? An Official Information Act reply to defend NZ from the Ministry of Health, which says the patients with COVID-19 could be eligible for euthanasia, has left National MP Simon O'Connor disappointed but not surprised. I guess you can read the story. This is done through an Official Information Act for New Zealand, and you get the information of what's going on. Highly consistent with the with what's going on in the overall overarching consideration to put people to death and make it plausibly look like a medical condition for the common cold. What else do you say? Is this? I have to laugh. Are we this non-responsive to psychopaths? And then this, those of you that heard that, and you're supposedly non-white, listen to this. Where the common cold is really as pervasive as it is, and they're attaching influenza, which you really should be concerned with, and I'm having a lot of people talk to me about their response to this. There is an influenza going on, and it's tough this year. It's beating people up. So take care of your health. Anticipate that and fortify yourself. But non-whites to receive priority for limited COVID pill. Now, there's no way to stop the common cold. No way. It's just the way it works. No way really to stop influenza. No way. It's going to go through. It has this ability to mutate enough to continue to live. It wants to live too. And there's a balance going on between how these things work, if we have a biological organism at all, we believe in that theory, that it really can't kill off everybody. And this is the thing about the problem. When you looked around that it was killing everyone everywhere around the world, that was a clue it wasn't natural, or whether or not it was provided by the government or it was just promoted by the government. When it went global like that, that was not natural. So this is an unnatural thing to start with. But non-whites to receive a COVID pill, which has been condemned. This is another one of those agreements by the FDA and CDC to advance a pill directed to non-whites. And like I said, I pointed out, aside, non-whites, if you will, like the United States territories, the people in the islands, the people in the possessions, have an astonishingly high adverse event to reaction to the vaccines. This is now targeting, underneath the cover of stopping common cold, a pill that has been decried as another big problem. And I just can't help but think of all the United States government experiments on people. And again, this is all about commerce, essentially. New York State health officials are saying being black and Latino counts as a risk factor due to persistent social inequality. If you understand how to dissect that statement, you should be up in arms. I mean, literally. They're targeting, it says right there, if you know what you're listening for, that they're targeting blacks and Latinos. Because you are a risk factor to the future system. The social inequality becomes the cause they're going to eliminate. If they eliminate you, they eliminate that cause. Did I just shock some people? Did I just insult some people? I hope not. I hope all you folks, all the listeners, I don't care what color you are, what your beliefs, what you do, what you don't do, if you don't understand how to decode what they're telling us, You're going to be mad at me instead of being mad at them. And if you're mad at me, it doesn't mean nothing. And I shake my head that we're both not going to help each other. The New York State Department of Health appeared to announce, see, you don't know what health means. You don't know who's defined that and for what purpose. When I say public health, you think I'm talking about you, my listener? No, public means government. In administrative capacity, go read the definition of public writing. It's not a writing for you or from you. It's from a government, an instrumentality of government to whomever they're speaking of. Public health is the government's health. So the New York State Department of Health appeared to announce this week that non-white New Yorkers would receive priority over whites in receiving extremely limited COVID therapies for people at risk. It is a sales statement. And they're doing a good job at keeping people's minds attached to how they market stuff. Again, you need to read it. You need to see the very first opening sentence on these. How even RT figured this out to tell you the truth right up front without being obvious is pretty interesting. How the media knows how to speak to you is a very deep connection to the fraud. I don't know what to do. I don't really have my handle on that. How do they do that is the question, but they're doing it. So that's all I need to know. They're doing it. When you understand finally, when somebody is official and says, they want to deal with a risk or they want to deal with emergency. They're not really defining. In fact, COVID shows you they don't define it. Like they're evading defining it. That allows them to so-called move the goalposts that never really existed anyway. But non-whites are targeted here. We saw that non-whites, if you will, the islanders of possession of the United States are targeted and have higher VARS response numbers. We find that people in the black community, I haven't heard too much about the Hispanic or Latino here, we call it Latino here, community, how they affect. I just know that there is this thing in the world, there is this history, and it is affecting people. It's no different if you look at people who are not supposed to be discriminated against in the discrimination suits. Doesn't mean everybody. And yet you see elderly people were attacked right off the bat. That certainly can be tied over to pensions and all that load that was sitting. That's almost predictable when they were complaining about the baby boomers finally reaching pension age. Years and years ago. Scary, scary thought to watch that play out. It's wow. Just wow. Anyway. So, a pill that is a two chemicals, totally questionable, are now being prioritized to non-whites. Should be another clue. Just no different than any of this other stuff that's so as a matter of institutional policy to commit fraud and promote it. No one seems to be able to shut it down. It's astonishing to me. Or pass the word so that nobody agrees with it. Openly doesn't agree with it. And what about those media folks? What about those people talking to you? New York Times has deliberately covered up two genocides, COVID jab, Holocaust, and Holodomor in Ukraine. So are the media part of the propaganda machine? Certainly. Here's more a story here. Fascinating. We can now get some clues. The New York Times, more than any other Western media outlet, is instrumental in covering up the Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin's engineering of the horrific 1932-33 famine, which killed 7 to 13 million people in the Ukraine, Caucasus, and Kazakhstan. Walter Duranty, the New York Times bureau chief, won the 1932 Pulitzer Prize for his dishonest and deceitful reporting. We'll highlight the deceitful. That's going to be throughout all we know about today. Again, repeated deceit. Reporting about the premeditated genocide perpetrated by Stalin to collectivize the farms and destroy Ukrainian society. We'll just jump back. This story talks about starving people. If you don't think, if we just heard 25% increase that starts to starve people, you're missing the point here. You don't have to look like you're coming in to control the fields in order to starve people, and on a massive scale. They're starving you of your rights and your freedoms and all this other stuff, and you don't think anything of it. You think you need to see something like a Holodomor. You're watching Holodomor happen today through the cover of the common cold. And so we see the media in this story, the Jabdemic, the Jab Holocaust, Holomador. I know they're strong words, but they are not, I don't think, too great an extension to what's happening. It's so incremental to our mind that we don't really see it. We're so, in a way, detached to and divisive amongst people. We, like the homeless, who cares about those folks? We're all becoming, if you will, homeless. Just a slow attrition that starts eating more and more people. I'm shocked to see how many people, going on where lots of, and I talked about this a long time ago, I didn't know when it was going to come. It's taken a lot longer than I thought. People having to move into trailers and RVs and things. I've been shocked, because I don't get out much, but when I did get out, I noticed there's a lot more RV parks being planned or in the middle of being built right now. So there's a transition going on in this country that is unheard of. This points out the, I'll call it back, austerity today. The food security they promised in modernization is the same thing as the Holodomor. Not in function, in effect. And I would hope people really start looking at a lot of these things in this and protect yourself. Start to build in the protections that are needed. Start looking around to see if you can help people before it gets too bad, or be ready to handle them when it does become more bad, more in our face. I think it's just protective. I'm not trying to be paranoid. I'm trying to say we better protect ourselves. So the New York Times will tell you a bunch of stuff, and then I found this pretty fascinating, based in the stories as we bring this along, and the vaccinations and the requirements. Those that are telling you to get the vaccine, well, they're putting their mouth where their mouth is, I suppose. But we hear this: New York Times editor dies of a heart attack hours after Moderna booster. So the same New York Times that was promoting these Holomador austerity has been doing that to you. We'll promote that you should get these boosters. And Carlos Tejeda, the 49-year-old editor of the New York Times, died just after hours mixing and matching his J&J shot with a booster from Moderna. He leaves a wife and two children, 49 years old, hours after that happened. I've never heard of these types of connections, coincidences, and these officials hiding behind, that's not causation. But here we have it. Go ahead, get your mix and match. Go ahead. Get even the same booster. Go ahead, folks. These people that are telling you and promoting and covering up and winning Nobel Prizes, as we find that's just a political prize to give the promoters of deceit and death a platform that most everybody would agree with as an expert, is promoting those things as their editors are dying. And we can look away, or we can start taking cognizance of what's going on. And I don't think it's not, this is not the decision not to get the vaccine, the booster, whatever it is, the jab. This is about watching your systems, your established systems, openly deceiving people, and we're not responding in the least. We cross our arms and we go harumph and all that nonsense, but that's not the thing I'm talking about. And we see the propaganda right playing out and people dying all at the same time. Not causatively, obviously, right? Everyone can use that excuse. You keep using that excuse, but don't expect your future to be more than austere, if you're alive. Because remember, it's not just that you're not participating. There may be somebody that comes as a vector to what you're not participating in to participate you. Moving through, as we see the propaganda of that and the fact of people dying left and right regarding this thing, again, more than 3 to 15 people dying has never allowed any kind of a treatment for communicable disease to pass muster. And this one's into maybe the hundreds of thousands, if not more. I don't even look at the numbers. But morbidly obese, moving into the United States military, the self-inflicted wound, this all could be the, what do you call it, communizing of the world, the communitization of the world, and the threat, the national security threat that's not responding but attacking you in the United States. This administrator Morbidly obese defense secretary fires unvaxxed troops in the name of combat readiness. Morbidly obese defense secretary Lloyd Austin, a former Raytheon board member hired for reasons of diversity, fired dozens more troops this week for not getting vaccinated, citing combat readiness concerns. Now, there is no test. The variants are showing up, even if there doesn't need to be a test, and it's whatever, a coronavirus that's kind of gotten wild. It's minor. It's common cold. But what is this guy doing to your military? Well, the vets that listen to me, I don't have that connection to the military. It didn't take me five times. I tried. It wasn't because I wasn't capable. It's just they have all these rules. And I didn't be able, I couldn't jump all the hurdles as I got older trying to get in to do what? I just want to fly a helicopter. What the heck? I want to serve my country like anybody else did early on. But it didn't work out for me. So I don't have that connection to what military does. But I can see military intelligence not at work here, like we had joked about what military intelligence does, and most people in the vets would say so. You're watching a different animal on this. And the military is allowing it. And you're seeing an exploitation of the civil being able to control the military that I don't think people appreciate. And how they're going about doing this. And nobody, apparently, is actually bringing up the proper discussion. If you're into vaccination and haven't argued the fraud up front, you've missed the point. And so I've been talking about a nation survivability this whole entire time and how to at least begin to assert the more proper point, which brings up the problem and shifts the burden onto these types of people that are dismantling readiness under the color of readiness. If there is no test, and it's not, and there is no way to prove it, and by Operation Warp Speed, the military itself is killing itself with what's causing a jab-demic, and I think you want to go say it, epidemiologically provable by numbers, even if you don't cook the books, then you're looking at an internal structuring, a cancer in the government that's destroying the protection system of your nation and accept it on the suggestion of China. It's not the Chinese virus. This is the United States government's implementation of its own jabdemic against its own military. And nobody in the military is smart enough, is intelligent enough to have asked the question, what's the non-fraudulent exigency? And don't get me wrong, I see lots of brilliant people underneath the color. The euphemism, military intelligence. I see a lot of really intelligent people, a lot of down-to-earth people in the military. I don't know about this level, but it's not because we're not capable. That's for sure. But where are we when we're not asking this question of this guy? What's your non-fraudulent agency? If you treat this military as another employer, which you can, where's the question I've been asking and showing you under Title 29, which may not be directly applicable, but this guy's a civilian, where it says, what's your necessity? And I add the non-fraudulent because now everything's fraudulent. You gotta actually qualify. So here we have someone who's morbidly obese, talking about having readiness concerns of people that are healthy, maybe even immune, and even if they did get something, we have enough knowledge now to mitigate most of the harms, if there are any. It should be put really concerning to people. This is not just about the military. This is about the people in office that are destroying your way of life, allowing the very things that causes the 25% jump in one corporation. Again, it's the bottom of the price barrel, if you will, doing what they created, now having and forced to move up, leaving behind a decent part of the population and creating the question of their survivability based in psychology and psychological connections to purchasing, which are always present. So where were we? We're troops. Where are you talking about these ones that were knocked out, where did they, why didn't they question? Why don't we hear about it? And where are they to question? What was your non-fraudulent exigency, Defense Secretary Austin? See, to me, I guess I don't have the oath of office conundrum about paying attention to superior officers, I suppose. I don't have that as a question in me at all. That my question would be, if you're attacking me, you better have a better reason than you being too overweight to actually do the test that got you here. At least it's a bad example. And so he's fired a bunch of people, hundreds. Okay, we're going to go on and on about all this, about the firings and stuff. It's nationwide. It's worldwide about the apartheid, the medical apartheid being imposed upon us. That we shall be part of the medical mafia. Or else. I want to remind us, I got three links. I'm going to go right through them real quick. You just go get the information. Said there is no test. This guy's putting these, firing people from the military, and a lot of those people are dedicated. So what are you doing there? I mean, there's so much wrong with that. But even though I'm not really partial to the military at some point, it's not that I don't know that there's a need when we're being attacked. If we're being attacked, see, that's a different philosophy. But getting over, I want to point out a couple things. Three links I talked about a long time ago. I want to remind us, in the face of this fraud, an ability for us to demand the necessity, and we're not. Remember, I'll just run through some titles. The identity of the virus, health science institutions worldwide, quote, have no record of SARS-CoV-2 isolation purification. These are old discussions. I want to bring them back. Understand this is not new. And this guy and the, wherever they are, and many of these officials, have no basis for what they're doing as they destroy lives, essentially, if not national security. 153 health science institutions globally all failed to cite even one record of SARS-CoV-2 purification by anyone anywhere else. This is from fluoridefreepeel.ca. I guess that's out of Kanukistan. And then another link. FOIs reveal the health science institutions around the world, 153 and counting. And before I started talking about this weeks ago, I haven't been able to talk about it. It was started out of like, I jumped in it at 141, so each week it's been going up. Have no record of SARS-CoV-2 isolation purification anywhere ever. Now, they don't have a test, or I guess in maybe February. Remember? Because in June, the CDC said they're going to get rid of that PCR. Well, it wasn't a test anyway. It was a psychological op in order to get people to buy into what they were selling. And boy, did we. And so we have, again, I wanted to point out, this is not new information. This is all showable, what I've been talking about since before this thing got started. And I don't know why I just got to keep saying, here's the information that you could use to say, listen, you're making a decision, Mr. Official or employer or whomever, and you don't have the first basis to stand on. You have not demonstrated and cannot demonstrate a non-fraudulent necessity or exigency. Same word. For whatever you're demanding. It's this simple, folks. How we've gone to where we are, I don't even know. I don't even know. Why I don't have people, they don't have to clamor at my door, but just telling me, yeah, here it is. I'm thank you for focusing us on doing something here and shaking that their cage. Not you. They put you in the cage. You just open it and go do what you need to do. Why aren't you? And the tale of this may be coming out. I don't know what this next story actually means ultimately, but we're seeing where people are pressing back. Something's coming out. New Jersey is the first state to pay out millions over nursing home COVID deaths. And I told you this was a crime against mankind early on, especially when New York was killing people. Well, apparently there's going to be some comeuppance, maybe not all of it that it needs to be, but it's starting to happen. New Jersey will pay out $53 million to settle claims that the state's negligence contributed to the deaths of more than 100 veterans at the state-run homes during the coronavirus pandemic. You can't have a coronavirus, a common cold pandemic, folks. But this is a state-run veteran home. Where is Lloyd Austin? And I then have to ask, where are you vets and where are you in service that are being kicked out with to not ask the simple questions and hold their feet to the fire to a local standard? It's going to be the same standard wherever you go. I don't care if they want to say, oh, the military's different. You can't issue an illegal order. And those of you that lost your positions, that have been kicked out, you have nothing really to lose but to enforce that. It's not like you, I understand the question, you got to listen to your commanding officer, and then there's always that question, unless it's illegal command. How do you know that in the moment? I understand all that. You don't have that obligation, that burden, that monkey, that millstone on you by being kicked out of the service by this guy, Lloyd Austin. Morbidly obese. Complaining you're not ready. Your readiness is questioned because you're healthy. What kind of nonsense have we allowed to ourselves? So, there's a comeuppance going on. Veteran state-run homes had to pay out $53 million in these straits. Will New York, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, California follow was the question on the follow-up lead. We don't know about all that, but that didn't get started by itself. It takes the integration and institution of wanting to see relief for this crime. It would take someone like my colleague who's in another other side of the state to just bash these people the way we've talked, and I've shown him how you do it and how he nothing happens unless there's someone pounding on a door of crime to fix it, to arrest it. It doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen over time. Here's another example. I told you were on the right side of history, folks. This is not It's your history, or your history, either one. You either do it, it's your history to make in the future, or it's your history. You're done, or you don't. But here's the first cracks in all this coming through. Some of you who might want to look for something to jump in on might find this example for you. I'm going to move on to something I've been trying to talk about, and not just so many taps. I got so much to talk about. And maybe nothing. I don't know. It depends on what people are interested in, I suppose. But there was a, and thank you to, this is a long time, here a couple weeks now. Someone sent in, I think, in the BitChute or the RLM comments. I think it might have been the RLM comments. And I apologize for not knowing you by name. It's a couple weeks back, quite a few weeks back. Put in, when I was talking about ivermectin and some of the things it does, put in a link to a video called Ivermectin Friend or Foe. And I wanted to acknowledge that, but I also wanted to caution even that. Did appreciate looking at the question. You always had to question what's going on. After looking at the video, I don't know what new thing I learned. And I did appreciate hearing the question about ivermectin, but I started to find out I didn't quite appreciate the dismissal of quite a few points. That although I listened to the friend or foe video and it sounds pretty logical up front, what was being dismissed about what we don't know and then throwing that on as a, well, you're going to take a poison into your system in order to fix yourself was a little bit, well, I don't know what the word is. It's just not certainly a view I want to take. Here's the point. While I appreciate hearing the question, what I didn't appreciate was that's accepting that there's something going on, assuming we know everybody's problem and we know everybody's cause. And this is my main problem about all this. This thing covers, whether or not it's talking about ivermectin or not, it covers whatever might be the underlying cause for people. And I've done reports, and this is where I guess I'm getting to the point about this. I've done reports where I've talked and said, I think it was a report, 30% of the population, or maybe more, suffers from parasites. And I guess getting to a quicker point, it's without getting on and on about it. If we don't know, because we don't know about the point about the so-called SARS-CoV-2, it's not out there. We don't know what's causing these problems. We do know there's a psychological warfare attack that causes people, it's like a placebo effect. You start focusing on something and you say these symptoms, stuffy head, wrist, medicine type stuff, achy. Everything has an immune response. It looks like that. So everybody with that, which is most of the population having aches and pains, starts to focus in on that. You must have COVID. is not the case, even if COVID was something special and biological. That we, if we have a populations around the world, 30 to 40% that are susceptible, are suffering from parasites and don't know it, we don't know what their responses are relative to why ivermectin would work in the first instance, that they would need that. If they need that, because they are susceptible to the parasite and not this fabrication, then ivermectin, friend or foe, is your friend in that instance. I've also explained that regardless of what your theory is running in, ivermectin in early stages can work. The video claims that it doesn't. It shows there's a reason why that's the fact. There's a reason why the ivermectin would work. It's in a counterintuitive way, but it's not working. But we don't know what the cause is. And so, I just be careful. With all this information is we have to be careful. We have to make sure that we are able to follow what we need individually. If we don't have that, we're going to bring susceptible to generalities that I think the friend or foe document, the video, starts to bring on itself. And so while I did appreciate being reminded, I didn't necessarily believe that the attitude regarding ivermectin, oh, it's a toxin, it'll hurt you, was misplaced relative to we don't know who needs what for them. And so I want to make that assessment. But we have to be very careful on all this information. I agree. It causes a toxin. We said if you just read the basic wiki, it says it has a place. It's not a general application. But when we have populations that are suffering 30 to 40% by parasites, and that's what that takes out, and that was the real thing, then maybe those people need that. So it's, again, nothing is carte blanche. I thank you for putting the video in, but even that video, I have to take, again, with the grain of salt that everything really needs to be taken with. This is really the private nature of what we think about, how we have to respond. The ivermectin has its potential place. I know people who are taking it who do not have problems at all relative to some of these illnesses. And so I don't know where to place that, but I do know that some people suffer parasites, and that is one of the chemistries that help kill that off. And if that was what their problem was, then for them, ivermectin can be a friend. It can be a foe. That's been admitted. And it can be a foe when it's done too late, if whatever you're being hit by is taken on too late relative to your body's response to it. I guess the body goes through these stages, like shifts gears. Anyway, enough there. Thank you for the link, but I don't necessarily want to embrace that completely. And I think it proves, when you see the video says it does go after parasites. The video admits it's a parasitic, anti-parasitic, as we've talked behind the woodshed here. And a couple of other things. It doesn't say that it's an enemy, because it would be it's a toxin in your body. In fact, that's what you need. It's kind of like, well, it's like any of this stuff that kills off the bile, an antibiotic. If it's needed, if you're going to die without it and there's no other remedy, then maybe, just maybe, you need that toxin to biology in order to kill the thing that's going to kill you before it does. And so, let's, again, appreciate the video, but by the end of the video, I was almost started to be dismissive of the attitude, trying to persuade people away from using it, when it admits that it does something, and it doesn't admit that there's a major number of people that may need that, because COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, is not proven. It's made up. We don't know what people are sick from. We don't know why people are sick. And so let me just end that there, moving on. And why? Because we don't start assessing what we need to do. We start listening to the government. And, we got to save the children, but now the children are the future, are being attacked, and we have more of the truth. Here we have, just go tell Mr. Austin about this as well. The investigation has launched after 3-year-old girl dies from cardiac arrest one day after receiving COVID-19 vaccine in Argentina. And so, I don't know, what do you do on this? I mean, where does it begin and end? People are putting their offspring on the line. If they're doing that, you don't have a future. It also happens to be down in Argentina. Why are the non-whites given the pills? Are we going to answer these questions? These are serious problems. Lloyd Austin wants to give all the troops shots. Maybe 90% of them already have it. But here's what happens. And then we also find out the VAERS system says you have your offspring to worry about. Are we going to continue to agree to this? I don't know. I don't see how we can, but it seems that people are easily persuaded to go ahead and be quiet. Now, what is this driven by? What is this silence driven by? What is the, whatever we feel and not respond and allow the oppressor to exploit us, what might this be coming from? And this kind of brings us into some other things and moving into more of what we're going to get into, more of the deep, long-term things that go on relative to how populations are trained not to respond, how they're deceived. And in fact, this story comes up and talks to us about that. Leaked files expose serious psyops. A veteran astroturfing bread tube star to counter COVID restriction critics. Now, this doesn't seem like it has a connection, but we start to look behind psyops. As I said, this is Operation Hindsight 2020. And I said, this is an extension of 9/11. And so this starts to play in critically, that the people behind the scenes, the government behind the scenes, they know how to play the game. They have people in place that they go to in order to cause information and movements to happen and persuasions to go on and grab people's psyches in order to think a certain way, is not unknown. The point here is to expose it is being found out and happening. This story here, by covertly recruiting popular YouTube influencer Abigail Thorne to counter growing opposition to the UK COVID government COVID restrictions, PSYOPs pros are bringing home the tactics they honed in the Syrian dirty war. Leaked documents have revealed that the state-sponsored influence operations designed to undermine critics of the British government's coronavirus policies by astroturfing a prominent founder of the breadturf clique of anti-fascist YouTubers influencers. The project aims to conduct psychological profiling on British citizens dissenting against policies such as mandatory vaccination and lockdowns, then leverage the data to establish the YouTube channel that portrays these critics as dangerous super spreaders of disinformation. And so this is a critical insight that there's players afoot. This is not a joke about you. There's a mass propaganda campaign. And as I've been telling you, they have to identify these people. These governments have to identify the foe, call you names. And I've been offering the tools, at least to my understanding, to mitigate or eliminate that potential. This is where they try to cite super spreaders of disinformation, what I was mentioning earlier. You become the revealer of the truth. And what do you do? You don't just promote the opinion. You point out these government officials have policies without demonstrating a non-fraudulent exigency. I'll get all this stuff out. And for those of you that are still with me, I had a power outage and I've been doing a broadcast, so you missed the last 5 or so minutes. And I apologize. I don't know what more to do. I just continue talking. And, yes, thank you. My dog Rex, thank you for being in the chat room. So, apologize. I don't know. There's nothing I can do about that. So, here we are. That's what the blogcaster's for. And so, super spreaders and disinformation. So, if you are in the position, like I've been suggesting, that you're demanding the officials produce a non-fraudulent agency, you're not even in a super spreader of disinformation position. You're sitting in the position waiting for the other side to do what it was supposed to do in law. Now, we're not getting into disinformation. I've been trying to tell you and show you how you stay away from these very things. The point about this, and I could read on and on and on, relative to how this works, this is leaked information saying this, like what I told you, what happens in Syria is coming back to us. I said this a long time ago. This is now the evidence of that. This is what they're doing. This is promoting the system, promoting these things. There's government instrumentalities utilizing these techniques against you to advance what? A fraud. To advance what? Well, we see it's tied to that Great Reset. And there's a whole lot underneath this that it's tied to. Just tons. It's amazing how much is really tied to this. Almost scary. And I guess at some point it's not really scary to me. Once you see it, it's like, oh, that's all them. You can identify the them, and it shouldn't be a question. You can just push them aside. And you learn that you don't call them names. You don't really push them aside more than to say, well, you haven't done the first thing you were supposed to do. And if we were all in unison about what that was supposed to be, not by our opinion, but the objective basis, this would, I think, evaporate pretty quickly, and then we could start targeting those that we would be subject to and be exploited by. They use the term astroturfing here, and I don't really qualify. I'm not really hip on all these new words and this and that. Gaslighting's not so new. It was like old in the 40s. I don't follow the terms. It takes me a little while to kind of grasp onto it, why it really has, I have trouble with the so-called woke issue and all their terms and all that stuff. I just don't get involved in that. I'm not focused on any of that. But this term, astroturfing, caused me to think again, well, let's go look at what that is, because I just look at it differently. And we could get into these terms, but they soften the problem. They soften what you're really looking at. When we see leaked files explain the use of people on the Internet and YouTube as influencers to press these agendas to counter things, counter the truth, essentially, if you have the truth in you relative to the fraud, as I've been identifying here behind the woodshed for you. What is astroturfing? Just a simple response here. The disguising of an orchestrated campaign as grassroots event, the spontaneous upwelling of public opinion. And in fact, it's the control of that opinion. And what I, the fact this orchestrated campaign, can we just stop the word astroturf? And maybe we just stop the term gaslight and just use what it all is. It's deceit. It's deception. Can I go back and read that sentence? Leaked documents have revealed a state-sponsored influence operation designed to undermine critics of the British government's coronavirus policy by deceit and deception of a prominent founder of a bread tube clique. Just stop these softening words. This is deceit at the highest levels. Deception at the highest levels, and I want to run there because we're told that's what's going to happen, and it goes on through history. I don't care what book you read that wants to tell you some truth, try to out it for us in the history of things. Deception is how this place is run. Machiavelli was just a critical to understand about that. Power will keep its power, period. And there's no shame in anything that keeps that power. We want to then look and we see these psyops going on to control populations. We think we're of a critical mind. Some of us may not even be involved. TikTok, I don't even know about it. I have no clue. But there's millions that follow it. Another social portal to keep people controlled, to put before people a way of life that people would aspire to, likely as an escape. We see this is consistent across nations, if you will, across borders, borderless. the UK, the United States, the CIA. We got China do it, obviously. Well, here we see another one. Through social media, why it's so such a serious threat to keep it going, allow it to be with utilizing it within our own protection system against these systems where we see in China, or I suppose it's China, who knows where these people come from. She drew millions of TikTok followers selling a fantasy of rural China. Politics intervened. Li Zikui, one of China's most darling vloggers, lives in a peaceful, enviable pastoral life. In one video, Li spends her morning riding through the misty forest on horseback, collecting magnolia flowers in a wooden basket. Dressed in a sweeping red cape, she looks like a cross between Disney heroine, and a biological Chinese princess. A mythological Chinese princess. On and on, the story. The inducement, the enticement to feel that someone is living the life that you're not, essentially. But the whole thing ends up being a psyop. It comes down and only gets exposed when there's a problem and a conflict. So we see across border, across peoples, we're all being played and we're allowed to be played. And the millions, drew millions of TikTok followers. Obviously, if I go to TikTok, I'm not going to get millions of followers. Why? Because I don't sell a fantasy. I talk about the most rural, if you will. That's derogatory as well, but for the most people, urbanites use this to vilify those of us that don't live in the urban citadels. Rural China. I talk about rural America in the most basic and foundational sense, and nobody wants to hear it. Mining law is the most basic way you can understand about land law. It touches on the most important aspects of why this republic is different than every other one, even the Republic of China. Notwithstanding all the corruption every government seems to do by following the truth that Machiavelli told the prince about how to keep his power. See, we have to divorce ourselves from that, but not just, just put it over there. We have to protect ourselves. The fantasy promotion is in social media. They want you on your phone. This is all part of it. Get you enthralled. Utilizing these mechanisms, it's all here this week to explain to us that the government instrumentalities mean you no good and will attack you when you see that there is no basis for the emergency that they call a communicable disease pandemic, and the governments are in on doing that. You can understand the governments don't mean you any good. You don't have to be a Russia attacking Ukraine and their wheat belt. This happens internal, like I showed you. Syria, I told you a long time ago, what happens in Syria, what the governments over there, the Western governments are doing in Syria and how they go about doing it, will turn. I said it's a mirror. It's reflecting back on us. We now have the leaked documents from the prior discussion about that. The fantasy is promoted. The propaganda of a different agenda is not exposed, but it's promoted in attacking people with a truth. And it's across, it's even across sectors of existence. It's not just governmental, although it is governmental. It's not promoted. We even move into religion, and I've told you this is likely the hub. Grimner, the late Grimner, R.I.P. Grimner, wherever he is now. And I think, was it Circle? It's all connected? Yeah, all connected. Obviously, it's not all connected. There's some things that are just apart, but for the most part, what we suffer is connected. And I've been talking about all the connections throughout this thing, trying to show you that it's there. So, okay, now that we see it, let's move on for us. Let's mutually defend ourselves against this. It's not just the governments, secular governments. It's even the religious government, which I've pointed out over and over, which is the hub of how this future transformation is happening and why, and the unity that builds around it, and the unity of religions, and the unity of beliefs. And this one speaks more and touches to Gaia. It's in a modified pagan relationship that's even adulterated. and the cosmic kids that bring in more on top of it, try to get into heaven somehow with their authority. It's all just this abusive condition. That the astral, so-called the deceit, the astroturfing of what's supposed to be going on, the tools that are learned in the Syrian war to come attack us, what China does to set up the utopia that they want their population to believe, that millions may not be enough for China either, so there are probably others that weren't as high done. But it's not limited to governments. We have this story, the sinister convergence of Klaus Schwab's Great Reset with the Vatican and liberation theology, written by William Engeldahl. How long have I been telling you about this, folks? So it's coming out more. There's more connections to a hub, a source of what's coming down and why, as I've been telling you since before it got started, all the way back when I was talking about modernization. I brought up that last week. Amid the 2020 global COVID lockdowns and economic dislocations, it has caused Klaus Schwab and previously low-profile founder of Swiss-based Business Forum emerged on the world stage calling for the great reset of the entire world economy using a pandemic as driver. Now, where that little fact has slipped, and why it slipped, I don't understand. This should have been the first notice about how the integration works. And in these stories, what's fascinating, and I think I missed a point about the connection, you're going to see in these last links, the leaked files, the China files, now this with the Vatican, and the next one with the CIA experimentation, you can see a thread of connection. Surprisingly, in a way, because why would you think the nations would be connected to the Holy See? In fact, why is there an advisor to the Holy See in the UN? And this is a part of the UN as well. These are like the drivers outside the UN when we talk about Klaus Genghis Khan Schwab. This is the one that in the future you're going to not have any property and like it. You're not going to have even a life. Your life will be wrapped around that little device they have in your phone. And those of you that don't, in not having a vaccination is going to be important. Wait till you don't have a phone. If you think that's the only apartheid going on at this point. Wait till you don't have a bank account. And I speak private to myself. Wait till you don't have these things, folks, and you start to see it cuts you right out of the herd quick, and you don't get a benefit. It gets pretty tough. It gets really tough. Is that really intelligent? I don't know. But it's, for me, the path I've watched. It's a test, in a way. Is it that definite? Yeah, it's pretty definite. You either agree, or you don't. There's no halfway. It's like there is no lukewarm here. Schwab used global warming fears and applied to world poor to justify what is in effect a plan for global totalitarianism. As the Davos website puts it, nobody will own anything. So we've heard all this. The point in moving this into was that these ideas came from a Catholic priest, it says here in this report, and I do believe it to be true as research. You're going to go back before the 60s and 70s, but when you research back, you see that the Vatican was a hub of this thing the whole entire time. The traditional priest, this bishop was known as the Red Bishop and endorsed Castro's Cuba model, as well as the Mao Cultural Revolution, in which millions of Chinese were killed or destroyed in the purge of enemies of Mao. Again, it's like Holodomor. You move into a place, you kill out all the people that are going to be your competition, and you take over the resources, and you feed your people. His name was Archbishop Dom Helder Camara of Brazil, a leading early figure spreading the church movement known as liberation theology during the 1960s and 70s. And this article goes on and on about this connection. Interestingly, isn't it the current pope that was from, what, Argentina? Is that true? I don't really keep track, but South America. Interesting that they're focusing non-white people with COVID. I always find this fascinating. And this shows that there's a long-standing connection to this communistic thing. And I think it's more the politics, not the natural commune that you might live in amongst people that agree with each other. There is two types, at least. And people will not agree with this, but I did the proof. communism is not different than technically, well, listen carefully, technically, it's not different than anarchism. Now, people don't agree with that, but I've done the proof, and I don't know why people deny it, but these are the things, the word traps that get us into. And this is why we have to be more related to a function. What do we need in our lives instead of trying to put it in a term? Well, again, when you identify something by a term and don't work through the principle, you can be pigeonholed into a problem. So this is another connection. You've heard it from behind the woodshed for decades or more, relative to all the connections that these do, the psyops that go on, where the information comes from, the history of the information, leads us back and back and back. It brings up into the back into technocracy. It goes back and back into people who have had designs on the world, essentially. I don't get it. I'm not wired that way. People have, for centuries, figured out that they were going to control the world. Well, there's another spirit out there that is supposed to be in dominion for a time, and I think we can, maybe not causatively if you don't want to go there, but at least by example, see, it goes back to that spirit, and it plays out all the time. So these are connected psyops, on and on, and we don't know really where the bottom of it is or who maybe all the players are. In fact, that turns into one thing that's interesting to me. Not knowing who might be the players kind of leads you make decisions and thoughts. It's not fatal. It's just an observation of a perception that I think I'm running into with this next tabs coming up and the discussion that comes in. Before I get there, again, the government, CIA, if you think that they're protecting your kids, your little goats, your sons and daughters, you think that they care for people, do you think government instrumentalities, innocence means anything to them? No, we just heard the jab killed a consistent with a very close timing on a little one. She dies, 3 years old. CIA experimented on hundreds of orphans, torturing them to reveal psychopathic traits. They should have seen, that should have been a mirror into their own view. I don't know if that was. Apparently it wasn't scary enough for them, which shows you how deep into the darkness these people are. But according to a new documentary out of Denmark, which interviewed former victims of Central Intelligence Agency, secretly carried out experiments on 311 orphaned children. And I want to say something here about that. Orphaned children is no different in my mind what I found in what we see in child services today and what you hear similarly is what I've explained to you is runaways. They can be orphaned from their own system, and this is what essentially can happen to them and does happen to them. So we can't look away from this. This means we have much bigger problems that nobody even puts a toe yet in it, but there's much bigger problems to address that I think the dominoes start to fall once somebody starts to move in any numbers, some people move in numbers to find out. But 311 orphaned children, people that throwaways in society. Again, back $1.25, you don't think of it, but when someone starts to lose food, even on a quarter, we've got some problems. Well, they're after your little ones. They don't care about it. The psychopathic traits that they're finding the experiments on to reveal were really the psychopathic traits they were probably seeking in themselves to prove out, confirming their existence, I suppose. The experiments were meant to reveal psychopathic traits and map out the link between schizophrenia and heredity. According to eugenics? According to the report, the children were tortured in clear violation of the Nuremberg Code of 1947 that introduced ethical restrictions for experiments on humans. Well, okay, everyone can keep complaining that there's a violation of Nuremberg, but if it's not being listened to, if it's not being asserted, and no one will step up with it and just talks about it, it doesn't matter. Who cares? And remember, there's no restraint on government tyranny under cover of national security. It's all they have to do. You've been watching this go on. Even Lloyd Austin said, readiness. I don't know what he's being ready for, what they're not ready for. They're not ready. The healthy fighter is not ready for not fighting, I guess. He's not ready for an army that's incapable or is diminished when it goes into battle. Now, what battle are they planning for? Hundreds of Danish orphans were unknowingly used in experiments backed by the CIA, according to Danish radio, reporting on a new documentary called The Search for Myself. According to the report, their experiments began in the early 1960s and spanned a course of 2 decades. They were conducted 2 decades. Not a peep. They were conducted to investigate the link between heredity and environment in the development of schizophrenia. You know, they learned something about you, folks. However, the children were not told what research they were involved in, not even after the experiments ended, and it was funded in part by the CIA front associated by the MKUltra program. I don't get much into all these programs and stuff. I just look at, okay, are we seeing evidence? If we see evidence and I've got to deal with it, then we deal with it. Otherwise, I'm not going to get too deep into this. However, we now see reports now where this has always been going on. Understand the 2 decades after 60, and it still doesn't come out till today. And not told about research. Do you think that they told you were part of a guinea pig in an experiment here in the mRNA? Do you think they told you about that? And look at all the population that fell for it. It's an ongoing psyop that people agree to bring on themselves. We don't have a thought about what is going on, and at the mercy of those in the deep, if I say the deeper state, in the behind of it, the things you'll never really see, running all the time. Orphaned people. And this is the runaways from child services. When I started looking, it was an anomaly in a court case. It just focused in on an anomaly a judge did to hide some information, cover up the evidence, keep the party who was seeking justice from getting that evidence, and destroyed a family in the process is what caught my eye about all this stuff long ago, and what caught me into a little bit of trouble. Although I feel maybe blessed to still be alive, because people that get involved with this don't seem to last real long. Apparently what I had was enough evidence they got back that it wasn't going to mean anything. I couldn't prove more than the evidence I had that they took. And so I was, if you will, softly treated and let loose, and nothing could happen. I couldn't do anything more. Subsequent to my investigation, there's been a couple more people went down the same track, interestingly, and they're not with us because they somehow were, one guy was a government guy. He apparently knew a lot more about the skullduggery inside and could keep away from it a bit. They just caught up with it. And so when you're touching on the problem with little ones about dealing with children and the abuse that governments do to them, it's not even news that this Ghislaine Maxwell thing comes up, or Epstein, who we still don't know didn't kill himself. In fact, likely he didn't. But this story comes up, and this is a little hole inside, peephole to look at a bigger problem of connection throughout the world, long-term connection to the pipsqueak mouse in the room that's always seemingly connected since at least after 1949. And Ghislaine Maxwell found guilty on 5 out of 6 counts of sex trafficking trial. I haven't really touched too much about this. I really don't want to touch more about this. It's sickening to me that this goes on. There's a lot of expectation about that. She's found guilty on 5 out of 6. She was found guilty of sex trafficking a minor, transporting a minor in the intent of engaged in criminal sexual activity, and 3 counts of conspiracy. That's a killer one right there. 3 counts of conspiracy. She didn't do it alone. Now, I find interesting they promote this as the Epstein sexual abuse case. No, this was about Ghislaine Maxwell. However, this is the hole, the peephole you get to look through. And if you look behind this, there is so much going on. It's almost scary to see how organized a deceit can go on worldwide. I'll look at through this case. It has nothing to do necessarily with even what they're doing. It just, this is the function of how they take down people for us to see. I don't know what people's thoughts about her being found guilty are. We're waiting for the sentencing, I suppose. But I don't know that it really all matters in a way when you see what's behind all this. The jury found her not guilty on enticing a minor to travel to engage in criminal sexual activity. Maxwell, who turned 60 over the weekend, they could face 70 years behind bars. She also has a separate pending trial for 2 perjury counts. The jury has struggled for days to reach a verdict, the Maxwell trial judge asking the jury to continue their deliberations through New Year's Day which is Saturday, in an attempt to avoid a mistrial due to Omicron variant-driven outbreak of COVID-19 in New York. And so here you see a fraud being used to cover up this heinousness, potentially on appeal. And this is where this is going to go. This is what they're counting on. She did not testify. And so that brings up the idea, would she be used, could she use that as a bargaining chip in the sentencing? Point is, I'm looking at all these people. We know through the stories there was a lot of prominent people involved. When you look at what she was doing, she's part of a bigger, she had a family. She was part of a family. And this is where this little peephole starts to turn into this cancer behind the scenes that is so integrated globally. It's astonishing how well it functioned, how it got this big. And nobody seems to have stopped it. So it could get so big. This is our problem. Where we see the wrong, we have to stop it. Otherwise, it gets worse. I won't go through the lineage of this thing. Just know that we're dealing with Ghislaine Maxwell getting convicted. It's now on the record that that's true what happened. Children were abused. They were used. They were for what? It ends up being sexual blackmail in an operation. That is, they focus on Epstein, who didn't kill himself. But actually, it's funded and promoted by another organization. And let me go to another link from, and I'm referring now back to a 2020 story that was done. And it states here, out of seven Maxwell siblings, Ghislaine Maxwell has undoubtedly received the bulk of media scrutiny, both in recent years and arguably ever since the recent homicide of the family patriarch, Robert Maxwell, in 1991. In the years since the death, Robert Maxwell's close ties to Israeli intelligence and links to other intelligence agencies have been documented by respected journalists and investigators, including Seymour Hersh and Gordon Thomas, among others. We're back to, remember, CIA, orphans, we got, you think that there's not a, we know the Black Pope sits in their Vatican and the world control about all that, and we know what they do with to children, and we see the problem of the governments moving in and doing other abuses to children. This is not even out of the pale for what governments would set up, what intelligence agencies would set up in order to understand how to exploit other people. While Ghislaine's own ties to intelligence has since come to light in relation to her critical role in facilitating the Jeffrey Epstein sexual blackmail operation, little, if any, attention has been paid to her siblings, particularly Christine and her twin sister Isabel, despite them having held senior roles at the Israeli Intelligence Front Company that facilitated their father's greatest act of espionage on Israel's behalf, the sale of the bugged PROMIS promise that said promise software to the United States National Laboratories at the heart of the country's nuclear weapons system. But it doesn't end there either, because before that, they had put this and promoted it through the front company. The Maxwell Corporation had promoted it, this promise software, globally. All governments, lots of governments were putting this promise software, which was rewritten to have a back door so that Israeli intelligence would have it in and the sexual blackmail operation was only a small part of an overall operation, a major operation relative to the Israeli system, the Zionistas. Okay, so this shows you that they have no regard for innocence at all, at all. They'll use whatever they want to use. It's right in here. And the bottom of this letter, well, I think it's Whitney Webb wrote this, is a connector guy. This is where I started to understand, because I don't look in too deep. I happened to check out here recently. This guy is still alive. I didn't realize that. And so this new awareness. Because this is going to get us back, for as odd as this might sound, the connectors to all that we're seeing here with this blackmail, the sexual blackmail, and who we know was involved by manifest by an airline, if nothing else, if you haven't heard much more than that. And who the players have been, and who the presidents have been, and what they've done to promote the state of Israel. which I don't understand, it can't be a real estate. It's not really acknowledged what it is. And it's also in a territory that's not been acknowledged to be theirs. So none of it really works. However, we call them the Zionistas. That's a long-term project, way before 49 or 46, whichever year it was. This get near the bottom of this article, and we start to expand the peephole of what might be going on and who has been involved with all of this stuff and what we're looking at. Now, notably, an article in the Evening Standard of 2001 makes an odd comment about a major source of income from Epstein during the 1990s, stating that, quote, has made millions of out of his business links with the likes of Bill Gates, Donald Trump, and Ohio billionaire Leslie Wexner, whose trust he runs. In addition, Epstein victim Maria Farmer noted in an interview that she overheard Ghislaine and Epstein discuss Bill Gates as though he knew him for well in 1995. However, these mentions of Bill Gates were here defies the official narrative about the Epstein-Gates relationship, which claims they first met in 2011. Given the major alliance between McKinley and Magellan and Microsoft that has forged in 1995-1996, it is certainly possible that Epstein's pre-2001, quote, business links with Bill Gates were, in fact, related to Ghislaine's involvement and stake in Magellan, which is, you have to, again, the story she writes, Whitney Webb writes quite a bit here. I'm just getting to the bottom to bring in really the name Leslie Wexner and his affiliation with who? The players that we're dealing with in COVID. And they're all got this connection back through one op, which was blackmail. You find out Bill Gates was involved with, I think, one of the sisters for a while. That this little side into Leslie Wexner brings up the idea back now into, of all things, the Kennedy problem. And this is what I think opens up and who might be involved behind in all that. And that I had thought, when the president, Bush, died, who else could there be that was of any prominence that if they exposed this would be brought forth in present? I figured once the president died, if he was involved, if he's being the head of CIA during the time that Kennedy was killed, if he was a part of it, the records coming out may not be such a big deal. But then I told you when it didn't come out when he died, there is a national player involved. What I didn't know, because I didn't look so much, is that people like Wexner are still alive. And they are connected to that mouse in the room, this mouse that scares elephants. And so that opened up a whole new parameter of, again, it just seems to me you look deep and all the players focus in on one entity that is throughout this whole thing that moves through governments that needs to be checked. And I'm not sure how we all deal with that, but at least we can start to see who might be influencing what's going on. And then we can still look and see, well, if that's the case, as I told you to start looking, if that's the case, how do I even have to address it? Can I defeat that by doing something else? And without getting all this stuff also up in the air, if we see that Bill Gates is involved just in this one aspect, one fork of the global organized criminal nested corporation control structure and surveillance, how they keep that together is just a phenomenal thing. I have to give them credit on that. It might not be them, but that's okay. We'll just give them the credit to hold it together. When we look in through and just see the COVID connection to Gates and all this other stuff, we didn't think that, oh, this sexual blackmail system might work. Then you understand that Ghislaine Maxwell is going to be working on appeal. She hasn't agreed to anything. She didn't testify. They're going to go out and appeal on technicals. And then we have to look and say, who isn't involved on the way up to her appeal? Who isn't involved in some form of fashion of an operation to compromise somebody on the way through? This thing may not actually be over. You may be watching how the system is protecting someone inside their system by so-called capturing her, watching how the system heals itself. or disappears things. Not I mean dead, I mean just makes your mind think nothing's of it, and heals up a problem that somehow got developed. But though you look behind the scenes, it affects every part of our lives for different reasons as well, and different relationships in the world. The Promise software alone compromised tons of people. They talk about it. So where is this? How is this whole thing really going to come to that end? I don't know. And how long it's been sitting in the world, it made sense, more sense, why the Kennedy files haven't really been disclosed, and why Trump didn't disclose them, and then why Trump supports moving to Jerusalem. It's not a disconnected thing. And then we see immediately the propaganda machine, the media pop up, BBC forced to apologize for interviewing accused Epstein attorney about Ghislaine Maxwell's trial, which was another player in the name, an attorney no less. The media, social media, came out to nail this guy, nail the BBC, which has to apologize. Why would they go to someone who was part of the condition to talk about what's going on? Why would they even bring it up? But the media went there, a player within the system who has influence in the rest of these conditions. And so there's more awareness to call this out. Calling it out won't be enough. They come out, they do an apology, and it doesn't seem to matter. It doesn't seem to go any further. And so there, you just watch the protection system working in a way. Why would they go to Alan Dershowitz? Well, again, he's part of the system, right? He's part of the mouse in the room. And so we can continue to... My view on all this, I just put it aside. We're just going to watch how something is being exposed and also covered at the same time. We just have to recognize that. That who is doing the cover-up is at least more important when those agencies for us, wherever we live, are the ones that are trying to feed us and propagandize to us. And where we may know that but not respond to it, where we... As the Ghislaine Maxwell verdict came out, which they will appeal, and she's been on record now, she's going to be appealing that, but the prosecutors quietly dropped the case against Epstein's jail guards during Ghislaine Maxwell's trial. This is where Epstein didn't kill himself. And the videotape got lost. And the story says the guards were in there doing their, I guess they were going to spend their money they were going to get for not watching. And they were looking on the internet for furniture and all this other stuff. What's interesting is the very end of the story says that they were given community service. In other words, it didn't go completely clear, but they cleared the record. Likely an administrative problem. All undercover at the same time of the verdict. Which then is, as we see, Ghislaine Maxwell won't reveal names in the Epstein Child Sex Network, her brother says. He's another player, isn't he? Part of the Maxwell Corporation of families that are working in deceit to control blackmail people. They're going to rely on an appeal on some technicality. And when I saw that, I said, okay, well, because you see, we saw the conspiracy. She knows where the dead bodies are. I don't know if she's going to last long, but that could be an inside plan on how she could and still not reveal anything. But who hasn't been compromised on the way up with such a long-term blackmail situation? Not just sexual, it could be all kinds of things. We just don't know. We don't know where that software went. We do know other softwares are very pervasive. They're in our lives. But this one is the one that's connected to the mouse in the room that scares elephants. And you can constantly why. And so my thought is, okay, so this is the system that we live in. We're going to have to take a really concerted effort to think about we can't change this, but we can change how we respond locally to all the different tentacles, I guess I'll say, of the, we hear Gary all talk about the octopus a lot, and who, and I don't remember now who brought that up. This is the entity, the tentacles in the world that runs behind the scenes. You can see the connection to it all. You can see the connection all the way back through Kennedy. You can see the same players are there, but why none of these records are brought out. And part of my idea, when I found out the records weren't coming out, I said, well, I'm just not going to get too involved. If those records come out, we'll see then, because we can't do really anything but know then what might have happened. And then what do we do about it? Kind of is shown in what has happened in COVID. Nothing. Well, we'll have a little bit of a rally, but nothing goes through to stop this nonsense, which is really causing such, and going to cause more woe and suffering in our lives. As I keep pointing out, that these Israeli companies are shown to be hubs of the technocratic future being brought up. They're like going to be the agents of its implementation, while people like Klaus Schwab, that are driven by inspiration from the Vatican, are actually promoting sustainable development, as I've told you about for years and years. And not just that. How? The mechanisms. It's in your states. It's in every country. The mechanisms are already there. When I have to tell you that you have a savings clause for your rights against the imposition, you have to know it's already there. And where did I just come up with this last week? Did I just come up with this 2 years ago with COVID? No. We sued it in 2013. It finally came together in 2013. And it couldn't respond. Good enough for me. I don't really need to know more. What I do need to know is that there's people listening that wanted to protect themselves, taking the responsibility to do so. And how are they, the integration with all this technology? Canada admits to secretly tracking 33 million phones during COVID-19 lockdown. Do you even have that many people living in Kanukistan? I hope. It says you got 38 million up there. Okay. I hope you have. Otherwise, Canada was looking past its borders. But 33 million phones were hacked. They want you on your phones. They're hacking them. And now comes out during the COVID lockdown. They're keeping track, even if you didn't have an app. This is technocracy. This is your future if you don't step up somehow. The country's public health agency, PHAC, did so to assess, quote, the public's responsiveness during lockdown measures, according to the report. Are you responsive? How are you? See, if you would have been actually responsive to how you would have had to do it, they wouldn't have had that data on that phone. They would have got it in a piece of paper in their hand, and millions of you, the 33 million of you, answering, asking, where is your non-fraudulent exigency? Evidence is coming in from many sources from countries around the world. But what has seen as a huge surveillance surge post 9/11 is now completely upstaged by pandemic surveillance. Just stop there. I've been telling you this was here. We just got to wait for the proof. You can see it in the implementation. And then this is the technocratic future that's the mouse in the room that scares elephants. It's going to be the hub of this deceit and surveillance. It's always been there in a way for a long time, compromising all kinds of people, you know, official places. How they got every jurisdiction and every health official to do so, I don't know. But at any rate, here it was, and we were silent. Brazilian Ministry of Health hit by second cyber attack in less than a week. Brazilian Ministry of Health, remember, this is where it starts with the 1970s Archbishop, remember. Brazilian Ministry of Health has suffered a second cyber attack in less than a week, which has compromised various internal systems, including the platform that holds COVID-19 vaccination. How convenient. On top of the fact that you're vulnerable, your electronic systems are vulnerable, technocracy will make you vulnerable, your public files are not protected. If they put you on the social credit, it's not protected, I guess is all I'm going on here. Volvo cars disclosed security breach leading to R&D data theft. A Swedish car maker, Volvo Cars, has disclosed that unknown attackers have stolen research and development information after hacking some of its servers. Hacking. They are attempting, there is proven there no digital and electronic system is impervious to having data high-level data hacked. R&D is nothing to mess with when you're dealing on a corporate level. I'm not saying this is unknown. What I'm saying is proof, haven't been able to get to it for weeks, that this is ongoing and they want to stick you into e-government, e-commerce, e-everything. Here's your phone. Here's your app. Your phones are already tapped anyway. It doesn't really matter, does it? They didn't need a lot of technology to do that. Ukraine arrests 51 for selling data of 300 million people in U.S., EU. Why do I even need to read the statement, the report when you're watching governments go after people that are doing, they are the competition for surveillance that the governments are doing, and they're going to be closing down whatever they can find that is that competition to do doing the very same thing the governments are not telling you they're already doing. But your information's not safe, whether it's private party or from a government itself. And this, where we get to the warm and fuzzy part, this technology, and this is how they bring it in on us, the paralyzed man with a brain chip posts first direct thought tweet. Now, how amazing is that actually when you think about it? Somebody who's paralyzed can actually communicate with people through Twitter. Okay, maybe not so much with Twitter, but they can go through some function, some technological advancement that allows people that can't to actually communicate. Fantastic. I want you to consider what I just said before, when all this is hackable. It starts out like, this is great, first thought, direct thought. What do you think people that know what they're doing have this machine on their head, and they're trying to figure out a way to get to your life's accounts, into your Cybercoin, into your bank account? Paralyzed man with brain chip posts first direct thought. Fantastic information, fantastic technology. And then we realize that this is all not protectable. Hacker steals $140 million from users in crypto gaming company. Do I need to say more? One hacker takes out value. It's really not value. But this is where we go. We early on. Do you think your life is 25% attached because of inflation? Watch out. The rest of your life is not hacked because of the system the mouse in the room promotes through its processes and through its ops. The blackmail ops to get the policies it needs to get control essentially of the whole world's lives, because it knows where to go and get the most things in your life, how to control that. And what do we get on top of that? At the same time, we're hearing that these crypto gaming companies are being hacked, even though we got the Fed coin coming. Remember, I told you all that was coming. What do we see in the news? The Let's Go branded. Interesting psyop this could be. Let's Go branded crypto coin to become NASCAR driver Brandon Brown's primary sponsor. Find it interesting. It's LGBCOIN, IO, and yet I wondered, why didn't they just do LGBT token.io and show you what this is all about, moving this thing into the new future, the transformed future. But this all rides on the back of the phone caller during Christmas to Joe Biden, who got the president to say, yeah, he agreed to Let's Go Brandon. And so this is a meme that started, and it now looks like a psyop to me to get you all, all you NASCAR believers, to jump on the crypto coin. Why? Because they want you on those phones, and they want you to think this is a patriotic thing to do. It's really a fascinating thing to watch. I'm asking you, don't let them happen to you. Stop. And don't let this happen under like the cover of COVID or climate change, all this other Klaus Schwabian nonsense that came from the Vatican, and that's what the Pope promotes. It's just another religion, like the Green Religion, Gaia Religion. It's all that same unity nonsense that's going to take you out of your life. It's doing that now. Thank you for listening Behind the Woodshed. Thank you for the syndication, and I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs for Nature Will.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From Behind the Woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.